Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1989, the topic is Q&A, and the title is Metabolic Rebuilding, Expectations and Process of Reestablishing Proper Nutrition and Training. Okay. So I'm going to go into it a little bit with one of my clients. We're going through our normal communication that I have with online clients is we have a Google Doc, and they write in it every week any questions they have. I answer those questions. I'll also include any nutrition reviews for nutritional concepts we're working on and training video reviews if they've been sending any videos. So it's how we communicate each week, make sure everything's on track. One of my current clients, we are a month in, but we're still learning their body, learning the process, and they're going through a transition where they're coming out of a time of being so busy and overwhelmed that they weren't eating to their best ability. They had a little bit of a break. They were eating to their best ability. I guess I want to clarify that. They're doing it as much as they possibly could control, but it wasn't the healthiest environment, the healthiest situation, which I'll give more context here in a second. They just had chronic periods of under-eating, chronic periods of inconsistent eating, and then they got a couple months to like a freedom of schedule. And they're like, oh man, you know, I want to crush everything, do great, and then they're transitioning back into another period of inconsistency. What is creating and what is happening in this moment is often what a lot of people find is they've been doing haphazard whatever with nutrition and training. They jump right into a program and they wonder why they don't have excellent, amazing results right away. Now, this client knows better, so they're not the exact example of that. But we can learn from their experience and expand on that into regular, like more general population type experience. And the general population experience that I see is people will go from doing kind of poor habits, very inconsistent eating. They've been chronically under eating, inconsistently eating, haven't been having enough protein, haven't been exercising enough or to the right intensity. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know, in the next 12 weeks, I want to lose X amount of weight or I want to compete in a competition. And they only give themselves, you know, 12, 16 weeks to fix what they've been doing wrong for possibly 12, 16 months or more. And the body just doesn't snap into the process like people think it does. Especially when you're coming from a place of under eating or chronic inconsistent eating. And what that means is, let's say that on average you're supposed to eat 2,000 calories a day and you've been having 1,200, 1,300, 1,200, 1,400, 3,500, then 1,300, 1,200, 1,400, 4,000. And so it's like you're under, way over, under, way over, and that's inconsistent eating. Chronic under-eating is you're supposed to have 2,000. You've been eating 1,200 to 1,500 for, say, out of the last 30 days, maybe 28 of the days. Two of the days you had around the 2,000 or maybe a smidge over, but you've been overwhelmingly majority has been under. Whereas inconsistent eating, I would say, you know, maybe three or four, maybe 5 days of the week you're under, with the other days being over. What that causes is when we have inconsistency in our caloric intake, our body has to adjust to an estimated caloric usage that matches that intake. Otherwise, you would lose all your body fat, the organs wouldn't have the fuel they need, and the body would die. That's obviously, that's an extreme, but that's the way our body processes and thinks of body fat. Body fat is organ protection. We can think of it as money in the bank is bankruptcy protection. How far away from bankruptcy would you like to be? As far as possible, right? You could argue, oh, you know, 10,000 in my bank account is great. That's enough. Well, you get one bad bill, like all of a sudden you have to fix the roof on your house, you have to get a new car, you have an experience and you're like, holy freaking crap, $10,000 was not enough. I'm going to need like $50,000, $100,000. Then it's like, oh, okay, well, now I kind of expanded my bill expenditures up to meet that. So now I need $200,000, $300,000. The need for protection from bankruptcy seems to be a never-ending process, right? Now, there's obviously a lessened degree of concern as you get further away from $0 in your bank account, but it's still there. There's still this overall underlying desire to have more, protect a little bit more, just in case. You never know, just in case. Well, body fat for the body is the same thing. It's protection for the organs. It's just protection for the body. If we expend calories, typically on a regular basis, we're expending calories on a relatively consistent aspect. Meaning we don't tend to have a lot of difference in our days. So if I'm burning 2,000 calories a day, I'm probably only going to vary a few hundred calories from day to day. Even if I work out and exercise and I burn 400, 500 calories in the workout, which would be a very intense, very challenging workout, that might be the largest variance that we get. Whereas with caloric intake, people will vary way more than that. I've seen clients have anywhere from 1,200 calories up to 2,800 calories and everything in between. I mean, it's not uncommon for there to be a plus minus of 600 to 800 calories or even more. So our caloric intake variance is greater than our caloric output variance. What that means is our body is experiencing moments where it's not getting enough. And it's experiencing those moments more and more often when we're chronically under eating or chronically inconsistent eating. So this would be as if, say you have $10,000 in your bank account and two or three times a month, you have to spend $9,000 of it. Unexpectedly, like out of nowhere, you wake up and somebody tells you you have a $9,000 bill. You're like, holy freaking crap, I'm glad I have it, but damn, you know, that's pretty close to what I don't have. You know, so say each time you're able to replace it, but you're kind of scared because when's the next time it's going to come? Am I going to be able to replace it quickly enough? The same thing is true of the body. When we force it to use stored body fat as energy, but we do it in inconsistent and extreme manners, the body then tries to save any moments of surplus to replace what was burned off, but it'll also try to save even more. Our body protects against stress. We actually use this adaptation against the body or for ourselves to build muscle tissue. We know that when we damage muscle tissue in the gym and we eat enough calories, enough protein, and give our body enough rest, it'll put more muscle tissue down than there was before. It'll protect against that damage by putting greater amount of tissue onto the muscle. That's how we build bigger muscles. So body fat's the same thing. Is if I lose body fat, if I force my body to burn body fat in an unwanted way, it's extreme manner, extreme stress, the body will replace that body fat and more. Just like it adds more muscle to be more protected, it'll add more fat to be more protected. When we inconsistently eat, when we undereat, we're creating an environment that body fat is necessary and should be protected and replaced. That's unfortunate because then that means that we're not going to lose the body fat that we'd like to lose for health purposes or for aesthetic purposes. So if we chronically undereat, if we chronically inconsistently eat, the body is in the state of wanting to save what it can when it can, and it's in a state of reducing caloric output. It'll reduce non-essential processes, so that way its caloric usage is lower to match the amount that you're actually taking in. So then all of a sudden, you know, we've been doing that for weeks, months, maybe years, but all of a sudden a random Monday rolls around and you decide to start a new diet. So you're going to be more consistent with your food. You're going to be more consistent with exercise. Well, your body's coming from a state of, I have not had consistency. I am still in the need to protect myself. All of a sudden, we're not having the extreme deficits we used to have, which means we have a little more than we used to have coming in. But our body is still in the reduced metabolic, like the reduced calorie usage, which is a reduction of metabolism. So say, for example, it would normally spend, I'm making up numbers, 500 calories on growing your hair, your skin, and your nails. When you're in a chronic underfed state, chronically inconsistently fed state, instead of 500, it's only going to allocate 200 to it, which is why the hair will thin out when somebody's not eating right, why their skin will get dry and kind of scaly, and they'll notice they don't have to clip their fingernails as often. So the body will reduce the caloric output in non-essential aspects. So when you start a new diet, it just doesn't on Monday pick right back up. It has to see that the food is consistent and it has to give calories back to the more essential processes until it will then give calories to the non-essential processes, such as hair, skin, nails. So this might be why when somebody starts to quote-unquote eat healthy, eat in a proper manner, whether even if it's for fat loss, you know, muscle building, whatever it might be, there's a healthy way to do that. So when you're eating in a healthy state, your hair isn't going to start to grow faster right away. Your nails aren't going to start to grow faster right away. Your hair doesn't thicken. Your skin doesn't soften. None of that stuff happens right away. That actually might take a few weeks before all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, wow, I'm having to clip my nails a little more often. And you kind of notice it, right? Or like for myself, I buzz cut my hair, so I'm baldish, choose to be bald, so I buzz cut my hair, and I'll notice, okay, when my food is on point, training is on point, everything's going well, for me to keep the shortness that I like, I almost have to do it twice a week. If I miss a little bit of food, if something's not quite as right, then I only have to do it maybe once a week or once every 6 days, so it kind of extends. And I actually do notice that. Like, that's a legitimate thing. And in other ways, like if you measured the frequency of clipping your nails, you would notice when you're eating healthier and things are going well, you do have to clip your nails more often. And these are external signs that we can use for healthy metabolism. So whenever we start eating healthy, the body will, at first, put back the body fat that it felt it needed to. So at first, you might actually gain body fat. You might gain weight. If you've been chronically under-eating, chronically inconsistent eating, you might gain weight. Especially if now all of a sudden you're lifting weights, maybe you're going to start gaining a little bit of muscle. Now that you're using your muscles, the body feels the need to store energy in the muscles to a greater degree. So you're going to combine water, sodium, and carbohydrates to create glycogen, and that is a compound that is stored in the muscle cells for energy. Well, that, since it's associated with water, will make you weigh more. So now that you're using your muscles more, you might build muscle. Now that you're using your muscles more, your body might store more fuel in the muscles. Now that you're eating enough calories, the body might start to replace some of the fat that it had lost and had been wanting to replace out of fear of protection for the organs. So the initial phase of a diet, your body has to get healthy, depending on how unhealthy you have been. So the initial state of a diet, it isn't that you immediately start to lose body fat. The more extreme in unhealthy that you have been, the more the body actually needs to rebuild itself and heal before it can then allow body fat to be burned off without the desire to replace it. There is a process in which the body's health needs to be reestablished before you can then get the body to spend energy on non-essential behaviors such as building muscle tissue, such as increasing strength. Those are important, but they're not life-saving, so in extreme cases, the body will not prioritize that. I see this all the time when people go to the gym on a regular basis, but they do not eat properly. And they're like, well, I'm going to the gym. I should be losing fat, but I'm not losing fat. No shit. I told you that it depends on the nutrition. Whether you go to the gym or not, you're actually making things worse. the more calories you burn when you're inconsistent with calorie intake, you're actually making fat loss more, like fat retention, more important. You're actually making it harder for you to lose body fat. So people will be like, I'm going to the gym all the time. Why aren't I seeing bigger muscles? Because you're not eating the calories and protein you're supposed to eat. We already went over this. So you hear my voice, I get a little frustrated because people, you'll tell them, hey, everything centers around and anchors off of nutrition. It is challenging at times, and for certain people more than others, to have their nutrition under better control. A couple things are lifestyle factors. Another is just the perception of what you think proper nutrition actually is. Like I've had people tell me, you know, oh, I wanted to get stronger for a competition, so I started counting my protein. I'm like, well, what are your calories? Well, I don't know. Well, that's dumb. Protein, it doesn't matter how much protein you're having if your calories are inconsistent. So if you don't have enough carbohydrates and fats coming in, they're not fueling the process of building new muscle tissue or fueling the process of allowing that protein to be used towards better neurological connections for greater strength. We have to have things in place in the order that we cover. Like when I cover with my clients, it's calories, protein, then I usually throw in sugars. We talk about timing and distribution, but calories are number one, protein is number two. Sugars I throw in there because it helps because they're already tracking calories and protein. And then timing is number three. So when somebody says, you know, oh, you know, I've been getting at least my body weight and protein every day. What are your calories? I don't know. We're putting things in the wrong order. We don't care what the protein is if we don't know what the calories are. We got to know the calories first, then the protein, then the timing. It's important that we understand that how we feed ourselves is what's going to determine how our body responds to stimuli such as workouts. If I'm working out, I'm causing damage and stress to the body in a very specific way to get a very specific outcome, a very specific response from the body. How the body responds is in part with and supported by nutrition. So if our nutrition isn't right, it doesn't matter how much our stimulus is right. The body doesn't have what it needs to respond to the stimulus with. With all that in mind, that was actually not off my notes at all. So I do want to go into a little bit into my notes. So that way we can have an understanding, a little bit of maybe a deeper understanding for this, so that it kind of gives us a real-world example, and then hopefully we can apply that to our own lives and start to realize the importance of this or understand the perspective of what's happening. So I wrote for the client, we're talking about they have more body fat on them than they'd want. They had been leaner before. But at the times they were leaner, they didn't feel they had quite the right shape that they wanted muscularity-wise. They didn't feel like they were athletic as they wanted to be. So they were leaner, but they didn't have some of the other elements that they wanted in regards to the desired outcome. Since that time of being leaner, they went through a lot of process. This is a medical student. So they went through some medical student experiences and had to do all their mandatory rotations and all that stuff. And what happened was they had long periods of time where they struggled to eat. They would wake up tired, sometimes eat some breakfast, sometimes not. They would go to work. Sometimes they could get food. Sometimes they couldn't. There were days where they would spend 8 to 12 hours a day without any food and then just try to get home, eat something before they passed out. And then there's other days they could eat a little bit more. Maybe it wasn't as busy. They could sneak in something for lunch. But then all of a sudden they got so late, super late, and they didn't have anything before bedtime. So their timing was off. Their amounts were off. And it was chaotic. They also had times where they had access to food, and they would try to eat in a healthy amount. But it was after the periods of time of not having enough food, so they would notice weight gain. During the times in which they couldn't eat anything, they would actually lose She said she actually was about 6 to 12 pounds lighter than normal because of being so inconsistent with food, like chronically under-eating. But then after that, when she could eat and she tried to eat what she felt was a healthy amount, the body soaked everything in and she was 4 to 6 pounds heavier than she normally was. So we're talking about up to an 18-pound fluctuation due to the severity of being underfed and then the severity of the response of the body coming out of the period of being underfed. During this time, they weren't really able to exercise much. So although they were up and active, it wasn't muscle-damaging type of activity, which would help promote a higher metabolism. Their body was beginning to basically go into protection mode and reduce the caloric usage for non-essentials because they weren't getting the calories consistently that they needed. So they were experiencing initial weight loss from chronic under-eating, but then a responding weight gain when they tried to eat healthy again. So we were talking about that, and they asked, is that experience what I had referred to as kind of the metabolic rebuild, like the what happens whenever we're chronically underfed? So I wrote to her, I said, if we undereat, we lose weight initially, but then it plateaus. And then we have to go through a metabolic rebuilding process, which requires months of rebuilding the metabolism, during which we cannot lose body fat. The expanded variation of this is when you start a diet and you chronically undereat, you will lose weight initially. Then all of a sudden it plateaus, and that's because the body has now reduced its caloric output for non-essential processes. So now all of a sudden it's plateauing and not going anywhere. Then as you would try to go back to eating normally, since the metabolism reduced itself to that lower amount, when you eat normally, you're going to gain weight initially. That freaks everybody out. Then they drop back down to where they were before, but that's not making them any progress. So they get stuck in this space where I have to maintain my diet just to hold my weight. Because if I go back to normal eating, I gain weight. That's a frustrating and scary place to be. As you started a diet to lose weight, now all of a sudden you feel like you have to live in the diet just to maintain your weight. The reason why is that the body has reduced non-essential processes. It's reduced its caloric need to match the amount of calories you had been eating at the lowest point. So then when you try to increase your calories, the body sees that as a chance to store extra body fat and protect itself, protect the organs, pad the bank account. So it will do that. You will gain weight initially. I've actually gone through with another client. We went through a metabolic rebuilding process in the proper controlled manner, and we have increased their weekly average calories by 400 calories. And she's only gone up, I believe, a pound and a half in the process. So she can eat 400 calories more a week. And I believe it was a 12-week process. She only went up a pound and a half. And that would be attributable to some degree to some muscle tissue because we do strength-based training with plenty of muscle damage volume. So there's going to be some amount of that weight, that pound and a half, some attributable amount to actual muscle tissue, some attributable amount to increased glycogen storage. Now that she's not in such a deficit, her body can actually have some excess carbohydrates to be able to store as glycogen. So she might feel kind of fuller, and she might be that pound and a half heavier, but it's not that she got a pound and a half fatter. There's going to be some muscle tissue gain. There's going to be some glycogen storage weight retention. And then the rest of it could be, for sure, some degree of body fat. But we've been able to increase her weekly caloric amount by 400 calories. So can you imagine going from eating 1,600 calories to 2,000 calories a day? That's a whole extra meal you get. And she gets to hold her current body weight, essentially. Like I said, gained a pound and a half. But for most people, that would be a miracle to add 400 calories a day and only gain a pound and a half over the course of 12 weeks. So we had to do a controlled metabolic rebuild where we actually increased her weekly caloric amount, her daily average for the week, by 50 calories, and just step by step by step by step by step. And that's what this client was saying was, is did they experience that unknowingly? They went that chronic period of time where they were wildly inconsistent, and they said it was an 18-month period, which is plenty long enough for the body to start to make those metabolic adaptations. So the body made all the metabolic adaptations down to the chronic under-eating. And then when she tried to eat a normal amount, she gained a few pounds of fat, 4 to 6 pounds, and was frustrated, wasn't sure what was going on, because she felt like she was eating healthy. So yes, essentially I said the long stretches, weeks plus or months, you know, weeks or longer, of chronic under-eating and or extreme inconsistent eating, it does cause the metabolism to reduce itself, causing a weight gain and fat loss stagnation, meaning you're going to have trouble losing fat and you're going to have trouble building muscle. You're stuck in limbo where you're really achieving nothing. The longer the person has been under eating or inconsistently eating, the longer the metabolism takes to trust proper nutrition and to reestablish peak caloric usage for body maintenance. I've had cases of clients who've been extreme under-eating and inconsistent eating for years of their life, and it has taken 6 to 12 months of proper dieting to have a full recovery. Meaning, I've taken clients who averaged 1,000 to 1,100 calories a day, maybe 40, 50 grams of protein, and I've gotten them up to eating, and these are females, gotten them up to eating between 1,600 and 2,000 calories with around 120 grams of protein. And we've either maintained body weight or added maybe 5 to 10%, but it's a much better look, much leaner look. Their body composition is actually the same, if not better. So they might be 20 pounds heavier, but their body fat percentage is lower. And these will be extreme cases. Some of them have been hospitalized due to the negative impact on the organs. So I'm talking about extreme under-eating. So in those cases, we've rebuilt their metabolism to where they're eating a quote-unquote average and healthy amount of calories and protein now. Their body composition is better than it's ever been, and they've been able to control their aesthetics to where they still like the way they look, but they still feel that they have control over how they look and what they get to eat, and they get to stay out of the hospital, and they get to stay alive. So I've done that with people, and it takes 6 to 12 months. Now, that's an extreme outcome for a short period of time. So 6 to 12 months to rebuild someone's metabolism to almost double the calories, more than double the protein, and have them be a leaner body fat percentage, that's a lot. That was actually a huge accomplishment. So to have that take 6 to 12 months only is actually really damn good. So in those cases, we had to do it very slowly and very controlled in regards to how we managed their training and nutrition, because we were trying to reestablish health. I mean, we were trying to like regain menstrual cycles. They had lost their menstrual cycle from it, like such poor nutrition. We had horrible testosterone estrogen ratios, and like, oh man, rebuilding that was a big ordeal. So they've improved the quality of their life, the way they feel, the way they look, and it's been a huge accomplishment. But the longer somebody's been mistreating their body, the longer it takes for the body to heal and recover from that. I said for this client, the case of what they explained to me was it would typically take about 8 to 12 weeks of consistent eating and gradual increase of training volume in order to kind of correct what they had gone through. However, during that process, they're definitely going to see progress. They're going to see progress at a what I would know is a slower rate than what's possible. They're going to be happy because they're finally making progress. But as we would get through those 8 to 12 weeks, I know that they would start to see the progress even faster. She then asked, what does it look like to go through a rebuilding phase, like rebuilding process. What are the different nutritional considerations that she should take during that process? Now, I'm doing everything for her, so we're going to be doing it together. She just wants to know in her own hand. So I told her, I said, I'm actually already doing this. So I start all of my clients who aren't established, consistent competitors. I start them through what I would call like a micro rebuild at the start of our programming. If I know somebody's been doing everything spot on perfect, then I don't do this. I just start where they're at and I go from there. But most people, overwhelmingly most people, have been mistreating their body in regards to how they could have been eating and could have been training to optimize their metabolism. So I have to go through a phase of kind of like building up their metabolism. And I do that with pretty much everybody. So typically it means that I feed the body on the higher end of the calories that would still allow for a carbon fat deficit. I'm going to continue for other aspects here, but I'll stop there for a second. Is when we think of a deficit that creates fat loss, there's a range to that deficit. If I'm on the extreme end of the range, meaning an extreme deficit, but still an appropriate deficit, they'll lose weight, they'll lose body fat faster, but they're going to feel a little more on edge of hunger, a little more on edge of cravings, a little more on edge of low daily energy. And their body, if it had previously had a peaked metabolism, it would start to respond by reducing the metabolism a smidge. So I know that I have that ability if somebody comes into me with a healthy metabolism. I can push that to get them ready for a competition or for an event. If somebody's coming to me with a crappy metabolism, I have to have them on a less extreme deficit, still some degree of deficit that's going to help them see progress, but it has to be on the lowest end of deficit. So that way, although we are going to see some progress, we actually allow for some rebuild of health in their metabolism. So the range of deficit that we use is variable depending on the state of metabolic health that the person comes to me with. Then I also try to push more protein in because that can help rebuild the metabolism, kind of push the body to continue to burn more calories, get used to burning more calories, and start to do more repairs that the body has probably been missing because the protein has been chronically low. So we start to walk the protein up slowly over time, but we walk it up to the highest end that that person's body will break down, metabolize, and use. We go to the top end eventually. It's a slow process, but we get there. And then in training, we aim for greater volume with less muscular damage at first. And then over time, I invert those elements as the metabolism increases. We'll start to have less volume, more intensity, less volume, more intensity, less volume, more intensity. At first, I want minimum intensity and tons of volume because I just want them to start using their body, start promoting their body to have to send blood to this thing, fix a little bit of this thing. We just want to give it a little bit of work to do. It's like I want to give my body, in terms of like math, I want to give it some addition and subtraction. I'm not going to throw geometry at my body immediately. I'm not throwing calculus out there. I'm just doing some addition and subtraction. Get it used to doing some math. Get it back to working. Get it doing some things. Once it's doing well with addition and subtraction, then we go to division. Then maybe we go into fractions. Then we go into trigonometry, geometry, then calculus, and all that crazy stuff. I think I progressed that correctly. But the idea is, at first, we go high volume, low intensity, because we just want to make the body do some work, get it comfortable doing the work, not overly stress the body. We want the CNS to stay healthy and happy. We want to coax the body into a healthier, active place. And then, as it does, you would decrease volume and increase intensity. So that's the process that I'm actually taking this client through. And it was a fun conversation because they had gone through this crazy period, possibly like up to like 2 years of nutritional chaos before we started working together. And 2 years takes some time. It takes some time to correct. And I thought it would be helpful for people to hear that in the podcast that when you start a diet on day one, depending on how you've treated your body before day one, it's not just go right away. There might actually be a period of time where your body needs to heal first. And then all of a sudden, it can make the progressive adaptations that you want. But at first, it needs what it needs, what it wants, which is time to heal, and the material to heal with, which would be a proper structured diet. Awesome. Hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully that was interesting. If you have any follow-up questions, just shoot me a message on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage, there's a contact form. You can send me any messages. We also have the podcast available on our website with instructions on how to find older episodes if you want to check those out. And we have all of our one-on-one coaching services and a whole bunch of free content. So there's a lot of good stuff. If you've never been to the website, I would suggest checking it out. Not for a business promotion sake, but there's actually some decent stuff on there. So you might find something that actually you're interested in or want to learn more about. Awesome. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.